The Obama administration sees gender identity as the new civil rights struggle. But is preventing biological males from using the ladies' restroom truly equivalent to the injustices of racial segregation? This is an issue fraught with confusion and with danger. Find out why on this special program.
It is not up to the school district to determine the time our daughters encounter a member of the opposite sex while in a state of undress.
President Obama's decree to the public schools in the nation is turning our schools into battlegrounds for political agendas.
I always felt that I should have been a girl.
The Creator made two sexes.
Over the past few years, a powerful movement has taken shape. This movement denies biological reality and argues that gender is a function of choice, of personal preference, and it seeks to punish all who disagree. On this special program, we bring truth to bear on the perplexing and tangled notions of so-called gender identity. You will meet someone who suffered serious harm as a result of this movement, and you will find out how to bring sanity and common sense back to an issue mired in confusion and error. We begin by investigating the effort to demonize all who fail to embrace the transgender movement. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
If you're born a man, you should go to the men's bathroom. If you're born a woman, you should go to the woman's bathroom.
When the federal government comes in and uses your children as pawns to push their radical agenda on the states, then the states need to fight back.
It is an attack on biblical Christianity.
The whole controversy in North Carolina began when the City Council of Charlotte decided in early 2016 to adopt a very open bathroom measure.
They passed a very radical ordinance, and they said that not only did you have to allow folks that are transgender to use the restroom facility, shower facility, locker room facility that they identified with, they went so far as to say if you put names on bathrooms like male and female, man and woman, that's called sex discrimination. So effectively opening up bathrooms and locker rooms and showers to men, to prey on women.
The state passed House Bill 2, restricting people to the bathroom of their biology. This new law sparked a firestorm of controversy.
So far, the state has taken a financial hit from the loss of conventions and concerts like Bruce Springsteen and Pearl Jam.
In July, the NBA even announced they would move their 2017 All-Star game out of Charlotte because of the law. Even the president of the United States decided to punish North Carolina for the law by suing the state and threatening to withhold millions of federal dollars.
This is not the first time that we have seen discriminatory responses to historic moments of progress for our nation. We saw it in the Jim Crow laws.
Who or exactly what was Jim Crow? Initially, it was a character created in 1832 by Thomas D. Rice in blackface for his minstrel show.
The offensive portrayal of Jim Crow was no laughing matter. Eventually, the name came to represent the entire system of apartheid-like laws after the Civil War to keep blacks separate and decidedly not equal. They couldn't vote. They couldn't get good jobs. They were systematically treated as second-class citizens. In some cases, they even faced violence or death.
And in the old days, when the NAACP was founded, its total mission was to bring a sense of racial reconciliation, starting in a time where blacks were literally being lynched. I feel very much that the civil rights movement was hijacked, continues to be hijacked, by the LGBT community.
There's a distortion from the left about the civil rights era and Dr. King's plan and Dr. King's message. There was not one eternal truth that Dr. King tried to overturn. He was a preacher. Dr. King used the scriptures on his behalf to make his case. And yet what we're seeing with this whole transforming America agenda is the opposite. We're seeing truth turned on its head.
The civil rights struggle was based on gross injustices. We came out of a civil war, Jim Crow, grinding oppression based on a skin color, which is absolutely irrelevant when it comes to a person's character. Bathrooms are based on biological realities that are relevant. So we don't see urinals in women's bathrooms.
It's not a good practice for a man to use a lady's bathroom and vice versa. So to demagogue the issue, to try and to make a emotional, nonsensical connection to a very ugly part of our past is horrible. North Carolina is ranked as the second best state in the United States of America for African Americans when it comes to employment and business.
It was not so very long ago that states, including North Carolina, had other signs above restrooms, water fountains, and on public accommodations, keeping people out based on a distinction without a difference.
She's being very intellectually dishonest with all the people viewing there, because the color of a person's skin, the pigment of their skin, has nothing at all to do with what bathroom somebody uses. We got rid of Jim Crow laws. They were nefarious in their very creation, and so we got rid of them. But you know what we didn't get rid of at the same time? We didn't get rid of signs on bathrooms that said male and female. Why? Because a person's biological sex has everything to do with what bathroom they go into.
Race has nothing to do with what goes on in the bathroom. Okay? Doesn't matter what color you are, has nothing to do with how you use the bathroom. Anatomy does. Biology does.
In our day, anyone holding a traditional biblical view of sex and gender faces intense pressure to conform to a new cultural orthodoxy. Only a few short years ago, any argument to let biological men use the women's locker room because they self-identified as female would have been branded absurd. Today, this is the settled doctrine of progressive liberals everywhere, even though it can and does harm people, as you will see a bit later. But at root, what is this gender issue all about? Is it rooted in science and modern knowledge? Our own John Rabe takes a closer look.
A person who is gender fluid changes their gender identity that best fits with how they're feeling, changing from male to female.
Post-Christian culture in many ways becomes a post-reality culture. I mean, we're denying basics of reality. Even now, some basics of reality that are observable, you know, things like gender. I mean, that's right. An observable fact, right, in biology and to the human eye, and yet these are things that we are denying.
Transgender people are people whose identity don't match the one that they were assigned at birth, and they may or may not have surgery to get their body in line with their identity.
But the gender box is getting even bigger.
Though the term gender is now a common one, it might surprise you to know that the category of gender as applied to human beings has only been around since the 1970s. It originated not in the sciences, but in radical university English departments. Before then, we spoke in terms of the sexes, male and female, rooted in biology. So-called gender theorists wanted to do away with the biological distinctives. The basic idea is that while sex is biologically determined, gender is the societal role we play, and that it's fluid. It can be adopted, shed, or changed in any way one wants.
Gender fluid and genderqueer people identify as two or more genders
and may move between masculine and feminine presentations.
All these words can be dizzying, and we're just scratching the surface.
Dr. Julie Hamilton is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We live in a culture that emphasizes perceptions, sometimes even more so than reality. And I think that's probably been the postmodern influence. With postmodernism, you have this idea that there is no reality, it's all just perceptions. But really, God defines us, and I think that it's just an unfortunate place that we've arrived in our culture.
This has manifested itself in odd and even silly ways. For instance, a few years ago, the media was full of stories about a pregnant man.
What is a man? What is a woman? Journey of a pregnant man.
Thomas, not Nancy, is the one who is pregnant. I'm gonna let you take that in a minute.
But Oprah's audience need not have been so surprised. The so-called pregnant man was born a woman, had female chromosomes and organs, and had even competed in beauty contests. She was simply a woman calling herself a man. But the basic laws of biology had not been overturned.
We are born either male or female. Now, how we perceive ourselves is what some have referred to as gender identity. So gender identity is a person's perception of themselves in terms of their gender. So it's a boy's sense of his masculinity, a girl's sense of her femininity. And so gender identity is perception. That perception can be accurate or it can be not accurate.
In any other situation where the brain and the body are at odds with each other, the typical solution in psychology and psychiatry is to treat the thoughts to bring them to match reality. An example of this is anorexia. Anorexia is a type of body dysmorphia. You are so upset with your body that you can no longer see objective reality. You have anorexics on the borderline of starvation who look in the mirror and see a fat person. Nobody would say, all right, you see a fat person, I'm going to help you fix that. Let's get you on a diet plan. Let me get your exercise going. I'll be your coach. I'll support you. Nobody suggests that as a treatment for anorexia. We say, your brain is lying to you. Let us work on fixing your thoughts so that you can see reality and accept reality and get to a place where your brain and your body are healthy.
Ultimately, America's gender confusion is not about science and reality at all. It's about worldview.
A secular society assumes that the world is one of our own making that we invite God into. The Christian worldview begins with a very fundamental premise. We live in God's world. He doesn't live in ours. And those are two completely different worldviews. They're fundamental assumptions of two completely different worldviews, because that changes things like morality, it changes things like authority. And when you can get to the bottom of where these ideas come from, then I think it gives us an insight into why people believe what they do and why they say what they do.
As you have just seen, the modern gender movement has little to do with science or medicine and much to do with ideology and sexual anarchy. Later in this program, you will meet some people who are fighting back against this agenda for the safety of their children. But first, see for yourself how devastating the confusion fostered by this movement can be. Meet a man who tried to live as a woman for years, aided and abetted by doctors and psychiatrists, only to discover that it was a disastrous error in judgment.
I don't ever want to stand in front of anybody's happiness.
He didn't want to be who he was. My heart goes out to him. He's struggling.
Walt Heyer, originally from the Los Angeles area, can relate to that kind of struggle.
I always felt that I should have been a girl, and that I would get more attention, I would get more love, I would be liked better, life would be better. I thought that I was born that way.
But in reality, some bad seeds were sown in his childhood.
When my dad would take me over to grandma's house and drop me off, for whatever reason, I will never know. We started this routine where she was cross-dressing me in the old closet of the old house. And this got started. And it became a game and our secret. I was getting affirmed as a female. And I knew that when I was a female, my grandma liked me. She fussed over me. She made me a dress. I never got that kind of affirmation as a boy. 1955, what happened that was really pivotal for me was I'd been struggling with all these feelings, and all of a sudden the headlines, Christine Jorgensen, man soldier becomes woman.
That I am more of a woman than I am a man.
And so then I realized, wow, you can actually change from one gender to the other. So here, all of a sudden, now I'm realizing, well, maybe I'm one of those. Maybe I'm like Christine Jorgensen, and that's what I need.
Still, Walt kept his feelings to himself.
I got married and fostered two great kids. Some of the ways that I sort of what I called relieved the stress of what was going on internally with me, I would go rent get a motel room, and I would cross-dress and go down into the local bars.
That was in San Francisco. Walt finally saw a leading specialist who dealt with issues of changing gender.
He said, you're suffering from gender identity disorder, gender dysphoria, and said the cure for this is to have hormone therapy, which he said, I can find you a doctor that can give you the hormones, and then gender reassignment surgery. And so I went in April of 1983 and had the surgery and changed to Laura Jensen officially. And I was working as Walt at the time, so I had a dual identity. I was happy originally.
Despite the initial euphoria, getting the sex change operation proved disastrous to Walt in the long run.
The devastation that occurred as a result of that is just beyond description. Loss of family, loss of relationship with many of the people in my family, divorce, total financial loss. I was bankrupt. I was homeless for a while.
So Walt Heyer, going through life as Laura Jensen, had found things were much worse off for him than before the sex change operation. He even tried to commit suicide, and alcoholism was consuming him. He began to see counselors, one of whom told him he just needed to say goodbye forever to Walt and hello forever to Laura. But real change came through the help of a loving church and some loving Christian people.
When I sat down with Jeff and told him about my life and what had happened, I said, you're not going to try to change me back to Walt, are you? Because I'm liking being Laura. And he says, no. He says, my job is just to love you. He said, God's job is to change you. I was redeemed in a prayer when the Lord came to me and reached out to me. And I actually saw myself as a little baby during that prayer. And he reached out and put his arms under me as a little baby, pulled me in, and he said, you'll be safe with me forever. And at that point, the Lord redeemed and restored my life. I knew that that was the love that I'd been trying to get all my life.
Today, Walt Heyer writes books and counsels people all over the world on this subject, reaching out to them through his website, sexchangeregret.com.
The surgery never can address the psychological and emotional issues that transgenders suffer from with their identity. It can't do it because they're depressed. You can't cure depression with cutting off body parts or adding body parts or changing a body configuration.
Despite transgenderism's lack of basis in science, and despite the damage it does to people like Walt Heyer, the Obama administration has gone on a crusade to force public schools to open bathrooms and locker rooms based not on biological sex, but on self-perceived gender identity. And they have threatened schools refusing to comply with the loss of federal funding. Thankfully, for some brave parents, letting boys into their daughters' locker rooms is simply a step too far. Jerry Newcomb takes you to Chicago, where dozens of families have filed suit against the local school district.
We have a student who is transgender. He is a boy and wants to be a girl and has requested access to the bathrooms and the locker rooms.
Young lady should not have to change or go to the restroom next to a young man.
Unfortunately, the Obama administration says no. When the federal government says we're going to take away $6, $7, $8 million of your federal funding if you don't comply, schools tend to do what the federal government tells them to do.
Our schools should not be a place for social experiments. And that's exactly what the president is pushing. He's pushing a political agenda.
The Obama administration is trying to force school districts across the country to adopt open bathroom policies in order to accommodate transgenders. And now, some 50 families in the Chicago suburb of Palatine have decided to fight back through a major lawsuit. To them, the core concerns are the privacy and safety of their children while at school.
Our community became aware back in October of last year that the Federal Department of Education was trying to demand that our school district allow a biological male into the girls' locker room at our local high school.
No restrictions whatsoever. He's a biological boy. In the old days, we wouldn't have to say biological boy, we'd say he was a boy. But he came to the view that he was, in fact, a female. That's how he identified himself, contrary to physical fact. And that he should be free to go into the dressing room as and when and in whatever way he pleased.
What ended up happening is December of last year in a school board meeting, we had about 400 people attend the school board meeting. About 40 people were allowed to speak. 90% of them, I would say, were in favor of privacy for the girls. But our school board unfortunately did vote on a 5-2 vote to allow access to the girls' locker room.
The concerned parents in Palatine felt that they had no recourse, so they filed a lawsuit to prevent a biological male from entering the girls' locker and restrooms. The lawsuit is a joint project of the Thomas More Society and the Alliance Defending Freedom.
My oldest daughter is a FREM graduate. A biological male who identifies as female walked in on her in the swimming locker room. She was very upset by the intense invasion of her privacy.
The goal of the lawsuit in Palatine is to reestablish the right to privacy for all students, not for a few, but for all students. Everyone can change in a place that is consistent with their actual biological gender. And for folks who are uncomfortable with that, they can get their own private changing rooms.
One of the great concerns of all this is to protect the safety and privacy of victims of sex abuse.
One of the main storylines in this whole dispute that's not talked about much is sex abuse survivors. Women who have suffered sexual abuse and rape and assault in our culture. The answer is we have these kinds of separated facilities for men and women to protect against this kind of stuff.
Already, the school's open bathroom policy has some parents rethinking their options.
We have heard from several families directly who are now not sending their children to Fremd High School or to District 211 schools because of this.
We have objective means to determine whether someone is a male or female. It comes down to your DNA, we have physical anatomy. It's very simple to do, and it's objective and it's scientific. We're teaching children that objective facts don't matter. Skip over the facts and accept this. So that's a lie.
It is encouraging that some are fighting back against this insane agenda. But frankly, many more are remaining silent. The issues are complex, and many people simply feel as if they're not adequate to draw conclusions on the subject, especially in the face of such determined opposition. That is why we need your help to produce and air programs just like this. We really need you to stand with us in this battle for truth. Please give a generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. If you will, we will send you your own DVD copy of this special program, The Age of Gender Confusion. Young people are particularly brainwashed by our society on these issues of sex and gender, and you can share this program with your children and grandchildren on DVD. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677 or go online to djkm.org. We need your help to get this information out there. If we don't get the word out, who will? It's vital that you help us take a stand and be a beacon for powerful biblical truth. Please, give a donation to help us continue this work and receive this special program, The Age of Gender Confusion, on DVD. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, P.O. Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
The left is pushing a subjective view of gender identity, absolutely divorced from biology. You can be what you want to be. You could be gender nonconforming. And that's a radical reinterpretation of what it means to be a man or a woman. And the federal government has no business even taking a position on that question.
Who would have thought just 10 years ago that we would have to talk to our four-year-olds about a variety of gender choices?
The president has shown by his decree to all public schools to accommodate these transgender children that he is in fact a bully.
In the first book of the Bible and in its first chapter, we read these words: God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God then blessed and instructed them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. These are the most basic truths about humanity, and these truths are twisted, perverted, and ultimately broken by the cultural celebration of homosexuality and transgenderism. It makes fulfilling God's design for us literally impossible. And as you have seen, for those entangled in it, their constant companions are trouble, heartache, and brokenness. We must have and show compassion to those ensnared in this cultural delusion. Yet, the answer to sexual brokenness is not accommodation. There is no compassion in enabling others to continue living in a destructive and sinful lie. The only hope for all who desire to be free from the condemnation and power of our sins, sexual and otherwise, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died a cruel death, bearing the wrath of God in our place. But he rose from the dead in power and in great glory. And for those who believe and trust in him, we are washed from our sins and made whole again. This is the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. Thank you for joining us on this special program, which is part of our continuing series on the road back to sanity. Stay tuned for future specials on socialism in September and on our First Amendment freedoms in October. May God bless you, and may God bless America.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.